Once again, Second Samuel chapter 9, recitation verses 1 through 11. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?"
"At your service," he replied.
The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet."
"Where is he?" the king asked.
Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Michir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." So King David had brought him from Lodabar, from the house of Michir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth."
"At your service," he replied.
"Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's steward, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for." And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then Ziba said to the king, "Your servant will do whatever my lord the king commands his servant to do." So Mephibosheth ate at David's table like one of the king's sons. Please allow me to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we know that you think of us as special treasures, and you love us so much. Even though you do, we are living in darkness, and there was a time when we really didn't know you. However, thank you to your love and your very strong grace, and to Jesus' death and resurrection. We know that you've provided a way of salvation for us, and that is why we are today. This is such a miraculous thing that we can't even fully comprehend it. Lord, please allow us to be able to think about that and be grateful for it again today. We ask that the Holy Spirit work in our hearts as Pastor Joey is about to give a message this morning. We ask, Lord, that we'll be able to apply it in our hearts. We thank you for what you'll do, and with gratitude, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hello, everyone. Today, once again, we'll be looking at a story from David's life. In 2017, there was a movie called Going Home.
And the main character was this 88-year-old Jewish man by the name of Abraham. This person named Abraham and his teens had been in Poland but was persecuted by the Nazis. And as his family members were killed, he actually was able to escape and go to Argentina. When he was escaping to Argentina, there was a friend who helped him escape. And this friend, he told his friend in appreciation for helping him that he would create a tailor-made suit for him and give it to him. And Abraham's family had actually been a tailor, and so that's why he made such a promise to this friend who helped him escape. After the war ended, Abraham made the suit for his friend who had helped him. But he wasn't able to go back to Poland to give it to him because his family had just been killed off, and he had, he was dealing with a lot of psychological trauma because of that. For a lot of years, time went by and nothing happened. However, in his elder years, when he was cleaning up things in his house, he found this tailor-made suit that he has made for his friend, and he remembered his promise to his friend to give it to him. And he realized that he had to just do it right now, that now would be the only time. And so even against his family's wishes, he went to Poland by himself. And he didn't even know if his friend was still alive, but he looked and searched and found him and was able to meet him again after a period of 70 years. It's a very touching movie, and I encourage you to watch it. Today, we're looking once again at David's life and the promise that he had remembered he had made to his friends. Let's look a little bit about the background before we get into today's message. The Ark of the Covenant was brought in chapter 8. And God provided victory to various places in light of that. And it was a very stable socio-economic time. David remembered the promise that he had made to his friend years ago. Looking at chapter 9, verse 1, David asked, "Is there someone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake? Do you remember Jonathan?" He was the son of Saul, and when David's life was being sought after by Saul, Jonathan helped David escape. David remembered Jonathan's the covenant he had made with him at that time, and it said to never cut off your kindness from my family, not even when the Lord has cut off every one of David's enemies from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David. In the ancient times, there was a custom where when a new king came into power, they would wipe out the family of the previous ruler to the risk the cause of rebellion. So when David was going to become king, they realized that they would have to make a covenant, otherwise Saul's family could be completely killed off, including Jonathan and his family. So David searched and found Ziba, who is a servant of Saul's house. And he informed him that the son Mephibosheth was still alive. Today we're looking at David, and we're seeing how the Savior, Jesus Christ, would be born as in light of that. We're looking specifically at Mephibosheth and how that is kind of a picture of seeing Jesus Christ and how that applies to us today. Mephibosheth and the grace that Mephibosheth and we have received is today's topic, and we have three main points. Let's look first about the concept of the recovery of identity. Ziba told about this in verse 3, saying that there was a son of Jonathan who was lame in both feet. Why is it that he was lame in both feet? Actually, in 2 Samuel 4, it explains about that. When Jonathan was trying to escape. There was a woman who was taking care of his son, who actually dropped his son while he was with they were trying to escape, and he therefore lacked use of his legs. In verse 4, says that he is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Mephibosheth was not specifically, there wasn't much told about him, but because of the situation, he had to be hidden, as people may have been likely to take after his life. That is why he was at the house of Machir, son of Amiel. There was fear that with David coming into power, that the old family would be killed, the old king's family would be killed off, as that was the custom in those days. They were fearful of Mephibosheth's life, and that is why he was hidden. He was hidden in Lodabar, which is the name of a location, and this is a location meaning of like there was nothing there. This was kind of just showing how Mephibosheth really had nothing in his life so far. His identity was really hurt. Even though he was born as the son of the king, his life was sought after, and he couldn't walk, and he was in a situation where he could have been killed at any time. However, David called out to him, and then he thought that he was after his life. He was likely very terrified when he came before David. However, Mephibosheth was told things that were likely not even imaginable. David said, "Don't be afraid. I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father, Jonathan, and restore all the lands that belong to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth's life changed from darkness to light instantly. David's proposal here was to take in Mephibosheth as his own son. David, first of all, referred to Saul's the covenant he had with Jonathan for Saul's family. At that time, the land was already inherited by David, but he was able to pass off this inheritance to Mephibosheth. He also promised that Mephibosheth would always eat at his table. So in this way, he is telling him that he would be like a son, as his own son, and treat him in such a way. To be taken in as a child of the king meant that Mephibosheth had a completely new identity. His ruined person identity was gone, and he had a completely new identity from that day forward. His broken identity was now being restored. When we think about Mephibosheth, we can think about how that is just like us. Your value is something that, how do you decide it is, actually? Do you think, oh, I have self-value? Or, in the case of many people, some people think that their value is based on what others think of them. When we are born, we are most impacted by the relationship with our parents. In most cases, our parents love their children unconditionally, and that's how it should be. For example, even if a child loses a toy that the parent bought for them that day, or steps on something they shouldn't have in the park and then tries to get in the car, or and kicks their parents, or so on. The parents, these things are all things that happened last week in my family. Anyway, but the love of the parent doesn't change toward their children. However, in some cases, there are dysfunctional homes, and there are children who are not loved by their parents, and they always think they have to try harder in order to be loved by their parents. there's also cases where in your schools or in the society that your value is depended upon by what you can do. In order to be seen well by others, you always think you have to try harder and harder, and you're concerned about others knowing the weak points of yourself. And in this way, you get hurt and your identity suffers for that. However, looking at Mephibosheth today, we can see how by him getting to know David, his identity was recovered. And that's the same thing with us. When we meet God, our identity is recovered. Perhaps you've heard of Toy Story. It's an animation film. And it's very popular with it's actually in a form of a series. In Toy Story 4, there's a character by the name of Forky. And Forky was made by Bonnie, a different character, and he was made out of a plastic spork. And he's a little toy. Forky looked at himself and thought of himself not as a toy, but as trash. And so he would always try to get into the trash can because he just thought of himself as trash and not a toy. There was a time when Forky ran away from Bonnie, who had made him. And there was this cowboy character by the name of Woody who went to look for Forky and told him that Bonnie, who had made him, thought really highly of him and loved him. And Bonnie was really sad that he had run away. Forky heard that and realized and understood that Bonnie did love him and decided to return to her. Forky realized that he was not trash, but that he was a toy, and he decided to live as such. He got rid of this impression of himself that he had had and was changed into had a different perception of himself. This story really hit me. Because I realized that in the same way, God, who has given us life, sometimes walk away from him and try to find our identity in what others think of us. If we aren't able to satisfy others' needs, sometimes we just think of ourselves as trash and don't think of ourselves as having any value. That may apply to some of us here today. However, if that's the case, I encourage you to remember who gave you life and who loves you. It's God. And I would like you to think about how he sees you. God doesn't look at us and place value on us by what we can and can't do, but rather based on our existence. And in that itself, he gives us value. That's how he sees us as well. We know that through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, God has proven that he loves us. We know that by giving Jesus Christ life, it shows just how much God really does care for us. And our value is something that will never be unshaken, never be shaken. With belief in God, we know that we can have a new identity. And as a child of God, we can realize that is our true identity. This unchanging identity and unchanging value is something that we need to hold on tightly to so that we won't be tempted to be swayed by the opinions and evaluation of others. We can learn this from Mephibosheth and see how our identity is recovered through God. Let's look at the second point. A picture of our salvation. Mephibosheth was dropped by his nurse and he disabled both of his legs. We too were in a similar circumstance. Through the fall of Adam, which is referred to as the fall, we have been dropped in a sense into sin by our ancestor Adam and Eve as well, and we have to hide in a sense from a God that is us before we come to become Christians. However, Jesus Christ has come to us through Jesus Christ, extending his hand in that way to provide us a way of salvation. That was not to give us judgment, but to save us. When we receive this gift of salvation, we can have a new covenant or promise with God and come to be treated as a child of God, as a prince or princess of the king. With this new relationship with the king, we are able to come and eat at the king's table and to share in what he has. This is an amazing form of grace that is given to us. Through this salvation, we can realize that it is something, it is universal, that it is available to all people and it is necessary for all people as well. There are sometimes when whales come up on the beach and at oceans, they come up and people make a big effort to get them back into the ocean. It's actually a really hard thing to do because there's a time limit of about 20 minutes where they have to get the whale back in the water or it's going to die. This is kind of a strange thing if you think about it, because even though whales are lung-breathing animals, they have to be in the water. You would think that they would be able to live on the land in such a way, but they die in just 20 minutes or less. And why is that? One of the main reasons is that the weight of the whale is a main cause. In the ocean, they're able to just float and they don't have to be under pressure from their weight. However, up on land, their body is under pressure from the internal organs and they die quickly. They are able to live freely in the ocean. But when they try to go just one step in a direction of a place where they shouldn't be, they can't live. That's the same for people. When we're living in God's will and created and living in accordance with how he created us, we are fine. However, due to the sin that came into the world through Adam, we have become destined for death. Just as a whale, we too have a short lifespan that has a limit on this earth, and we will die. As for us Christians, though, we have hope. We know where we will be going. And that is to go back to being with God. God is trying to save us, and he's providing a way of salvation to us. By receiving the gift of salvation from God, we can be revived and have our sins forgiven and have a new identity. We can remember this and learn this through Mephibosheth and realize that this is true for everyone and applies to everyone as well. It is our job and our responsibility to share this, the gift of salvation, with others. Let's look at the third point of grace that we can learn from Mephibosheth. It's the permanence of our salvation. Mephibosheth was the son of the king and taken in as the son of the king. And then what happens? If you look in Samuel, you can read more of what happens. There's an instance where there is a misunderstanding and the land is sold off without permission. And then all of a sudden in 2 Samuel 8, Mephibosheth is about to be killed to take responsibility for the past sins of Saul's family. So you would think, oh, well, he's just going to be killed. However, actually, at this time, who was killed off was not Mephibosheth, but a Mephibosheth that was not Saul's son, but a different person with the same name as Mephibosheth. So it's kind of confusing in the Bible when there's different characters or different people who have the same name. In this case, it was one of those instances. And so please don't be confused. The son of Saul, Mephibosheth, actually did go on to live. It wasn't him who was killed off. Thanks to the covenant that David and Jonathan had, Mephibosheth was able to go on living. How is it for us? Are we always saved once we are receive this gift of salvation? Amongst Christians, there are sometimes people who ask the following question. Is it true that we will never lose our salvation once we are saved? In the world, some people are under the misunderstanding that if you don't live a good Christian life, then you will lose your salvation. But that's not true. If that's true, then the possibility of losing our salvation would keep us living in fear as Christians. If you were told that starting on the first day of the new year, you're going to have to read the Bible a certain number of pages every single day, and then all of a sudden, like 2 or 3 days later, you're already failing, then you are told, oh, that's going to be a problem. You're not going to have to stand before God, and God's not going to be able to take you in because you didn't follow this rule. You'd be scary, wouldn't it, if you were told that? And that's not true. You know, even if you do just mess up on something, you can just try again. So in our lives, we need to realize that we will sin, and that is inevitable. Because of that, but it is because of that that Jesus has died for us. When we receive salvation, our sins, past, present, and future, are all forgiven. And in light of that, our salvation will never be taken away from us. Romans 8:1 says, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We are saved by grace, and in light of that, our salvation will never be taken away. There may be various questions that other people come up with. Another one could be that if people are saved and they know that their sins are forgiven, then wouldn't they be just more tempted to sin knowing that they can get away with it? In Paul's days, there was actually concern about this as well, or this topic came up as well, and people thought, oh, we'll just go out and sin intentionally. But Jesus, if you realize that Jesus is the one who gave his life for your salvation, and you think about the sacrifice that he made, you wouldn't be tempted to sin at all. You wouldn't even think of doing such a thing. If you're thinking, oh, well, I'm just going to be forgiven, and so I'm just going to sin as much as I want, then it would maybe warrant reconsideration as to whether you are truly saved in the first place if you don't understand the concept. Some people might say or ask that since your sins are all forgiven, then why is it that the Bible tells us that we should repent daily of our sins? Is that indicating that we're going to lose our salvation if we don't keep repenting? That's not what it's getting at, actually. The Bible tells us to come before God each day and repent for our sins, to just acknowledge how Jesus has already forgiven us for them, and just to reconfirm that in our minds and our hearts. Even if we sin, we are not going to lose our salvation. However, living in a life of sin will distance us from God and break that relationship up, not allowing it to be in its ideal form. As we confirm with God each day and have the custom of repenting of our sins, that allows us to keep a good relationship with God. In 1 John 1:9, it says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all our unrighteousness. There is a person who once gave the following example, saying that if we have a string between us and God, and we sin, then the string will be caught. However, when we look up to God, He just reties the string. And the more times it is tied up, we can actually become closer to God and have a deeper relationship with Him. That's what the Bible is telling us. The Bible is encouraging us to have a deeper relationship with God, acknowledging our sin as we sin in our lives. We have learned today from Mephibosheth and seen how he was taken in as a child of the king, how he didn't lose his salvation, and then it was a permanent status. That was the general status of being a king, as daughter of, or son of a king. In the same way, we too are sons and daughters of God, the king. Jesus has told us that God will never let us go. I would like to share one testimony before finishing today. A friend of mine is a pastor, and this is what he experienced. There was a time when he was at his church, and this guy who he didn't know called at the church and said that he had a terminal cancer and his life expectancy was very short, and he wanted to know something. So my friend, who was the pastor, went to the hospital to hear what he had to say. And after after talking for a while, he said that when he was young, he actually accepted Christ when he was a child at church. But in his life, there was a bunch of different problems that he faced, and he actually went away from the church. And so he hadn't actually been back to a church for a number of years. He said that he hadn't done anything for God in his life. And he asked him, "Would God even save me? You know, can I get into heaven if I haven't even done anything for God?" And the pastor told him that if you have received Christ as your Savior, you will be able to get into heaven 100%, no doubt. You are saved. So that man had a lot of confidence from hearing that and was able to go to heaven in light of that without concern. In today's passage, we looked once again at David and the covenant he had with Jonathan. In light of that, Mephibosheth was able to have his identity restored and be given salvation of permanent status. We can reflect on how that same grace is granted to us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to worship you again today. Today we looked at David and how he took Mephibosheth in as his son. When we believe in Jesus in the same way, we can receive the same grace and experience, and as Mephibosheth did, we can have our sins forgiven and receive salvation, which is permanent. And this amazing grace is something that we can remember today. In this coming week, Lord, we ask that we can not have to live in a sense of fear being a Christian, but rather live in it with joy, knowing that salvation can never be taken away from us. Allow us to remember that with gratitude as we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let's pray for a moment together in silence. Please allow me to pray once more. May the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you this coming week and forevermore. Amen. We have a few announcements and colloquies today. Please